everyone, and welcome to episode 69 of Connectivity. I am Scott Thompson. Today we have two regular segments for you, and then a bonus segment. Kicking things off, Neil and Mike talk about the new Disney Infinity that was announced this week. After that, myself, Neil, and Zach talk all about Q1 for the 3DS and Wii U. And after the outro, you can catch a segment about the upcoming shortened NHL season featuring myself and JP. Enjoy.
Hey, and welcome to a segment here on Connectivity about Disney Infinity.
Infinity!
Infinity and beyond. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan. I got to check out the game in California earlier this week in a whirlwind tour about, you know, going across the country and then back within the span of a day and a half.
Yeah, that's the same thing that happened to me when they sent me out there for Epic Mickey 2. I was there for, I think, like 47 hours or something.
I mean, being there was fun. And then, like, the flight back, like, waiting at the airport, I was just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That other voice you're hearing is Mike Sklens.
And indeed it is.
And we're the kind of two resident Disney people on staff, I think. Especially now that Pedro's gone.
I mean,
Mike was always a contender for the crown, and I was kind of in the background, but I like
would say, now that Pedro's gone, Pedro was definitely a bigger Disney nerd than me. But I guess I'm now the chief Disney nerd for Nintendo World Report.
So how we're going to do this is Mike's going to pretty much just ask me questions about the game and then we'll riff on that. If you want any kind of longer details or more formal organized details, check out the big ass preview I posted that we posted, today, which is, Wednesday night. And then also I even had a little blog in which I compared Skylanders and Disney Infinity and made a conclusion about where I think I will be with Disney Infinity when it comes out, because I was in deep with Skylanders. I still am.
Oh, you still are.
Yeah.
So the first thing I wanted to know is, just in case anyone hasn't read our exhaustive text coverage, just want to give me and everyone else a brief overview of what the fuck is Disney Infinity?
All right. So, I mean, it's Disney's attempt at Skylanders. However, judging from how long it's been in development, I don't really think they're necessarily, like, completely ripping off Skylanders, which is kind of reassuring that it wasn't just like, oh, we can do that.
It seems like, I mean, they had Toy Box mode from Toy Story 3, which I never played, but I've read enough about it now. But it seems like they made that, and they were like, yeah, we should make another game like this.
The way the timeline went, and I didn't even go into this in the preview, but they talked about it a little during the press conference, and I think if you followed me on Twitter, you might have seen a mention of it. But so they did Toy Story 3, and the way that Avalanche works, there's, I forget the exact amount of people there, but I think it's 250, 300, and they basically had two teams. There was one team that was working on Toy Story 3, and then right after that, and like kind of like overlapping a little bit, Cars 2 was being made. And that Toy Story 3 team started working on a Buzz Lightyear-specific Toy Story game, kind of just like more like a direct sequel to that the Toy Story 3 game's mechanics. And then John Pleasance, who I think he's the co-president at Disney Interactive.
By the way, has the best name for an executive that works at Disney.
Yeah. But when he came on board there, because I remember there was a shakeup at the top of Disney, I think it was about 2 years ago, and he was like, no, we need to make this bigger. We can't just have it be focused on Buzz Lightyear. Why don't we broaden the scope? And then that's where Disney Infinity came into play. And then after Cars 2 came out, then the entire studio has been working on Disney Infinity since. And I guess Cars 2 would have been 2010? 2011? I don't know. But, so the game's been in the works for a long time. And I have a feeling that they were working on it and the Skylanders got unveiled and Skylanders did really well. And they're like, okay, cool, we're on the right track.
Yeah, and then they were like, okay, cool, we should probably add
NFC
figures to this game. Is what I think probably happened.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been it. It seems like that action figure toy concept is in deep with the idea of the game, which I guess talking about what the game is, it's split into two modes. There's playsets and there's the toy box. The toy box is kind of your freeform explorative area, much like the toy box in Toy Story 3. And in there, you can play with four players online, you can play with two people locally, and you can use any character and a variety of power-ups. They have circular discs that go underneath your character. I mean, the characters also have circular bases, so it fits up, you can stack them. So you have
like pogs.
You can have like two, I think it's either two or three of the circular discs, and then it's two or three of the hexagonal discs. But the circular discs go in there, and they're buffs for your character. So, like, I think Frankenweenie, they said, was going to be a health boost.
That's a clever idea with the buff discs.
Yeah, and then the hexagonal discs, which there's, so the way that the stand, or I don't know what the official term is. I kept on wanting to call it a portal because of Skylanders, but I try to not say that. Yeah, I think it's just like the stand or something. There's two circular things, so you can have two characters on at one time. That's, you can only have two players locally. And there's one spot for the hexagonal discs. And I think you can stack those up as well. And what that does is that, like, brings in an item into the world. So, for example, you know, you could have Mickey's Jalopy. You could have the Electric Mayhem tour bus, which was my personal favorite.
Nice.
Like Cinderella's
That's
carriage.
That's where they own the Muppets now.
Yeah. The horse from Brave, who probably has a name, but I haven't seen that movie. I think Dumbo was one of them.
Yeah, Elephant. The Dumbo looks like a Dumbo, like, ride vehicle from Disneyland.
And then Elephant Abu, or Apu.
Nice.
That was another one that I'm an Aladdin fan, so that was cool. And then you can have those in. But the way that that works is it's not like you put the hexagonal disc on it and then it's always there. That item is only in the game as long as you have the disc there.
Is the same for the characters? If I put a character down and take it off, does the character disappear?
Yes. It works the same way as Skylanders in that regard. But it's kind of fun because when you're playing around in toy box mode, and it really is just kind of like, it's like collaborating on, like, it's like playing Minecraft, collaborating on something like, you know, like a Little Big Planet level, because you can actually, using all these, like, these logic, I forget what the name it is, it's something involving logic in which you can kind of, like, set, like, switches to do different things, and you can also set up cameras. So you can make the camera, make it a side-scrolling or top-down or something.
Right. And I heard that someone had recreated, like, the Bowser Castle level from Mario Kart.
They recreated the Bowser's Castle level from the Nintendo 64 Mario Kart game.
Oh, the Nintendo 64 one. That's impressive. I thought it was going to be, like, the flat one, you know, from, like, Mario Kart 1.
And they also, they had, like, a Donkey Kong-style, like, thing that they showed off for a little bit. Something that looked like kind of like RC Pro-Am. Really, really neat stuff that you can do with it. I will likely never do this, but it's cool that you can do that, and I hope there's some way you can share it.
But you know what I'm waiting for, really, is someone out there is going to make, like, a scale model, accurate model of Disney World. Like, the whole resort, including all the dead space between all the parks and, like, all the forests and shit and the golf courses, and they're going to put all of it in, and you know someone's going to do it.
I don't know how much of a limit there is to, like, the scope of the world.
Yeah, that'll be the biggest thing. And I know I saw Spaceship Earth in there in one of the trailers, so.
Yeah, someone brought that in.
That's my biggest, like, Disney area is parks, so.
Yeah.
If I can rebuild Disney World and, like, build miniature versions of all the attractions and shit and, like, have Captain Jack Sparrow ride Pirates of the Caribbean, that would be really fun.
And you can also, like, with the hexagonal discs, there's also stuff for, like, changing the background in the sky. So they actually showed, like, there was a Sugar Rush theme from Wreck-It Ralph. And I know that there's a Tron one, but they had not shown that off. They did not have it there. Although, being a Tron fan to some degree, they did have the recognizer that you could just plop into it and then go right around in that. So that's Toy Box. And there is some kind of, like, I guess, like, linear component to it as well.
I feel like most people who are buying this game are buying it for Toy Box.
Yeah. Each character, when they go into Toy Box, they'll have different adventures that are kind of themed around them, but are a little more open. And then you can do those with other friends as well.
Right, but then there's also a linear, like, I guess, single player mode, you call it?
Yeah, so there's play sets. That's the other component of it. And at launch, there will be several play sets. They didn't give us an exact number, but the starter pack, which will retail for $74.99 on Wii U and Wii, and the 3DS version, to be blunt, it looks like it's going to be a bag of dicks.
Yeah, so it's not going to work with the portal or whatever they're
calling it? Well, it will. It seems like it's going to work similar to how Skylanders works with it, where it's like you hook up the 3DS to the portal. For Skylanders, it used infrared, because there's a little receiver on the 3DS. And you basically just, like, put two characters onto the portal and then save them to the game.
So it just unlocks them?
Well, no, it doesn't unlock them. And then what you would do if you wanted to switch characters, you would need to hook back up to the portal.
Okay.
But that's developed by Altron, which is some Japanese company that I looked them up, and they've basically just done a lot of shitty Disney portable ports.
And it's never, like, it's not going to have, like, a full toy box mode or anything, probably.
It doesn't look like it. They said it was a portable party experience, which I just heard that was like, all right, I'm going to stop paying attention now.
It's mini games.
But going back to playsets, so the launch pack will come with three characters, Jack Sparrow, Mr. Incredible,
and Sully.
Sully from, well, not Sully from Monsters, Inc., Sully from Monsters University. And it'll also come in the hexagonal, thing, there's also these things that will unlock playsets. And the way that this works is it's kind of, instead of just being a flat disc, it's like, kind of like there's like a cube on top of it that, you know, has like the Incredibles logo, the Pirates of the Caribbean, and Monsters University logo on it. And you put that on, and then you'll enter the playset mode. And you can only use the characters from that specific franchise in those modes. So for the Incredibles, they have the whole roster of the Incredibles and Syndrome that you can use in that mode. And then that one seems like...
So do you need individual figures for each of those?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And they level... They level up and stuff. It's very Skylanders-ian.
And the levels save back to the figurines?
Yes.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, that, I mean,
I've never really gotten into Skylanders at all, so
yeah,
God,
that's
a lot of this
hearing you ask some questions on Twitter about it, I'm just like, dude, like, that's how it works.
It works like Skylanders.
Yeah.
That doesn't help me.
But, so, the Incredibles one seems like it's gonna be something more of like an action beat-em-up as, right. You know, you are superheroes fighting enemies in the streets. And you have different people that give quests, like Edna Mode's gonna be in it and a few other characters that it's been a while since I've seen the Incredibles, so I did not recognize them.
Frozone.
I think he's there. That Samuel L. Jackson character. And I think Mirage was another one. I don't know who that is. But yeah, so that's the Incredibles one. The Pirates of the Caribbean.
Do they have Gazer Beam?
Maybe.
I just like him because he had the best name. Gazer Beam. Cyclops. Okay.
And then there's the Pirates of the Caribbean one where I think what they have confirmed there is Jack Sparrow, Barbossa, and...
Davy Jones, I saw.
Yeah, Davy Jones. There might be a few other ones, but once again, with Pirates, like, I remember those three characters in Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, and that's about it that I remember from the Pirates series, so.
Yeah.
That was the one that I didn't really get a chance to check out. They had a four-player toy box thing set up that, for the most part, devs played. And kind of showed you around and then would let you play a little bit of. And then they had one station for each of the three play sets. So the Pirates one, whenever I went over there, I watched a little bit of it.
Now, did you get to play it on Wii or Wii U?
Nope, they only had 360 playable.
Lame. Yeah. I was curious as to how it used the gamepad.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that a little later.
Well, good. I'm glad you know something about that then.
Yeah, so Pirates of the Caribbean, it looks like it's going to be a little more emphasized, swordplay and kind of like sneaking around and breaking people out of jail and puzzle solving. There's even naval battles. Like, it honestly looks like it's going to be pretty rad. It's just that I've kind of been apathetic for the Pirates series at this point.
Yeah, fourth movie kind of tanked it a bit.
Well, this one only follows the first trilogy.
Well, good.
Yeah. And then there's Monsters University, which I think is probably the most interesting one.
It's a prank war, yeah?
Yeah, because that's what it is. It's basically like Animal House, but with monsters, which I guess is just what the movie is in general.
I'm excited for it.
And this, they were kind of mum on exact details. We know that Sully and Mike are going to be in it, and one of the rumors before it was officially announced was that Randall was going to be at the Steve Buscemi character.
Oh, I think he's confirmed for the film.
Okay. Well, I know he's in the film, but they were not talking about him being a character in the game, but I'm pretty sure he is.
I can't imagine he wouldn't be. He's like the main villain.
Yeah. And that one, basically, you know, you're kind of going around this campus. It's almost like, to a degree, like Bully, but with monsters. Because you're walking around, you know, solving quests and stuff, and, like, it involves, like, there was one where, like, I had to, like, sneak to the roof of a building and, like, it's almost like Prince of Persia-esque as you're going up, and you have to use the scare abilities to unlock platforms and stuff. And there was another one where I unlocked a bike, and you can set up these pranks as well. Like, have a telephone booth that when people walk by it, like, they'll get, like, hit by a... Like, they'll get, like, hit by a punching glove and then fly through the air. So I was watching as one of the devs was setting up this, like, Rube Goldberg contraption of, like, basically just, like, people would, like, because they have a bunch of, like, monsters milling about the area, and they would walk into one thing, like, get punted in the air, then get slapped, and then, like, hit a wall. And it was really, really funny.
That's pretty cool. I'm definitely excited. I'm not so much excited about the single player mode. I feel like many Disney games, it'll probably be too easy.
Yeah.
Because they have to design them for kids. But the toy box mode, I'm actually very interested in, especially since it has this online, like, Minecraft component to it, which I've never gotten into Minecraft, but it seems like in this environment, it's something I could actually really enjoy.
Which is kind of funny, because my kind of takeaway from it is that while Toy Box is really cool, I just don't know if I'll really play it that much. Like, it'll be the kind of thing I'm like, oh, this is cool, but I'm not a big online gamer. I guess maybe if you got it, you might wrangle it in, or might wrangle me in, because I'm definitely interested in the game, but what kind of interests me more is the scalability of having all these kind of unique adventures around Disney properties.
Yeah.
Because it seems like they're pretty hardcore about doing these things every so often and, like, having them for new movies. I know.
Yeah, I'm really most excited of them dipping into the archive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like they're going to have a few other playsets available at launch. I would assume there's a Toy Story one. There might even be a Nightmare
yeah,
Before
yeah,
Christmas
one. Yeah, they've shown Jack Skellington in promotional art, so there'll be Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yep.
I want to see something really nerdy like Carousel of Progress.
Yeah, or something. I would at least like that to show up in the discs. Which the way that the discs work is that you will get them. I think a few might come with a starter pack. They didn't say exactly what. It might just be a pack of them because they have these packs for $5 that are, you know, it's like
collectible
cards.
And they're blind boxed, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't know what you're getting for the bonus discs, not the figures. You always know what you're getting.
Yep. Yeah, and some of the other characters that have been rumored that with the rumors pretty much being right on the money as far as what this game is, the other characters that were kind of mentioned in this were Woody from Toy Story, which Jack Skellington, Agent P, and Phineas and Ferb and stuff. So there will probably be a playset for that, I imagine, at launch. Rapunzel from Tangled, Anna and Ice Queen from I think it's coming out later this year, Frozen, which is a new
anime. They'll do it
movie.
For every new game, new movie, especially for the next year or
two. Some Cars characters, Sorcerer Mickey. And there's also rumors of a Lone Ranger playset, which makes perfect sense considering that will be coming out around the same time.
And they already, you know, Johnny Depp is, they're clearly not going just animation because they're throwing in Pirates of the Caribbean. The thing I would most like to see that we probably won't get is, since they're both extinct characters, but Figment and Dreamfinder from Epcot would be the coolest damn double set. It would be one of those things that probably only sell in the parks or something and make it hard to get. I'll buy like 20 of them.
Well, I mean, that's really the way to go with it is make it so it's sold in the parks because then you kind of, I mean, it's like, it'll be like that vinyl figure market. It really will be.
I'm addicted to those. I have like 30 or 40 of those figures in my office. So, and you know, they sell them for $13 a piece and it wouldn't be that, you know, they probably throw an extra $2 on for a blind box set of ones that are compatible with Infinity and they would just basically work with the portal thingy. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did that at all, especially since we know they're selling blind boxed things for this game. It makes perfect sense. And the figurines are about the same size. And
the figurines are the exact same price, actually. They're $13 standalone. And then, it's $30 for a 3-pack and the play sets, which I think will be like, it'll probably be like, you know, the playset and a character for
$35. I think they
bucks.
Said in the press release, it's two characters and then the playset, like the playset unlock thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of excited for the potential of it. And I touched on this in my preview of, you know, Disney owns Marvel and Star Wars, and this isn't going to happen overnight, but let's put it this way. We're about 2 years from the sequel to Avengers and another Star Wars movie. I'm giddy with the idea that, like, they're gonna have a pretty solid Avengers, or at least they could. It's not confirmed, but it makes too much sense. But they could have this very solid, you know, Avengers game coming out alongside the movie and something alongside Star Wars. And I think that the way this kind of streamlines and standardizes licensed games for Disney is, I think that's the coolest part about it because it makes it so that there's almost like this barrier of quality. That you know that the mechanics are going to be sound because, I mean, Avalanche, they've been making licensed Disney games for a while and all of the ones that they've made in recent memory have been pretty damn good. I mean.
Right, so they're stable studio now.
Yeah, I'm not going to go and play Toy Story 3 or Cars 2 because, I like Toy Story. I don't really want to play a game for it and I don't really like the Cars series, but if they have a Disney Infinity set where they have Tron, like, I'm going to buy that.
Yeah. So the other thing I want to know before we wrap up is I want to know if they've announced anything on how this game is going to use gamepad for Wii U. We know it won't the figures won't work with it because they have to stay on the thing, and there'd be no way for it to stay on the thing if you're using the thing in the controller. So. But what have they said?
It's a little, like, I think what they basically said that it was, like, the second level of development is when they started Wii U, developing the Wii U version. And the way that the studio is even set up is that they kind of have, like, a tech team, and once they started the Wii U version, they had, like, a tech team that was working specifically on making sure everything worked fine on the Wii U. So there will still be, like, a year and a half of development, at least, just on the, like, with the Wii U version being a part of everything.
Right, after they built the core engine.
Yeah, and then they have individual teams working on each playset, which is also really cool. And then for the Wii U, they don't really have any confirmation on any Wii U exclusive features. They would like to get them all in, but because of the crunch with the game coming out in June and everything, it might not be there. I know talking to them, they want to get off TV play in there. They want to have some cool gamepad touchscreen features, but they don't know if they're going to be able to do that. And I think creating stuff using the gamepad's a fucking no-brainer.
I'm sure they'll get down the basics of, like, if they're going to have a level editor, it'll use the gamepad to some degree, even if it's just for item selection or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hope... I mean,
but that would be really useful.
Like, for placing things, like, that would...
Yeah, like, I mean, well, here's, you know, a catalog of, like, 5,000 different things you can put into the game. Like, okay, click on this button, here's all the walls, here's all the roads, you know, here's all the foliage, etc. It'd be really easy to do a nice... Like, it's something that it's very simple, but a nice hierarchical menu system for the level editor would be a huge bonus. Because of the kind of game this is.
Yep. So do you have any other questions?
I think that's really it. I was hoping we'd know more about the gamepad, but I am completely cold on Skylanders. It's a game for kids as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to buy hundreds of little toy dragons.
I think this is more of a game for kids than Skylanders.
Ironically, it probably is, but it feels like the thing that interests me the most about this is the toy box mode. Skylanders doesn't have that.
Yeah. The one big difference between the two of them is that Skylanders is more of like a video game, whereas Disney Infinity is more like that Minecraft video game.
It's a digital playset.
Yeah, more exploration. And that's the one thing that I think is really appealing to Disney Infinity is kind of separating itself from Skylanders and kind of reaching out to, like, I mean, from what I hear with Skylanders with kids is that there is that kind of, like, creating their own world, but there's no way to do that in the game. You have to play through the story. There's no way to kind of manufacture your own story, and that's what Infinity is all about.
Yeah, it's all one IP on Skylanders here. Yeah. Like you know, who would you know? Let's have a. It's like Smash Brothers in a way. Like, who would win in a fight in Mario versus Samus? Like,
yeah, it's and the same thing. Oh man, griefing in Toy Box mode is a glorious thing because because they had they were all hooked up probably via LAN or something, but they had four devs playing the game, and there was just like so much like. Someone was on a block and someone would remove it and that person would fall, or like they'd all get weapons and just start shooting each other. Like, it just seems like a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to play it.
Yeah, I am too. It's coming out. It's still not really officially confirmed, but apparently there was a countdown on the Disney Infinity website that says that it's going to come out on June 18th.
Oh, wow. I was expecting October or something.
Oh, no. It was confirmed for June. It's basically right. It can't come out earlier than Monsters University. So what the dev team was telling us at the event was that whenever Monsters University is coming out in your region, it's probably coming out shortly after that. And I think it's June 13th or something here. So
awesome.
The week after that. So yeah, it'll be that nice post E3 game.
Yeah, it'll be a good summer game.
Yep. And I think it's smarter releasing that instead of having it go up against Skylanders.
Well, yeah, plus then they can put more packages out, like, before Christmas.
I mean, the idea is not necessarily to just have, sell Disney Infinity 2 next year or Disney Infinity Giants. It's keep on selling these playsets, and I think that's probably the coolest thing about it. I mean, I imagine, like, for, whatever the hell the PS4 and Xbox 720 or whatever they're going to be, they'll probably release Disney Infinity discs, maybe with an updated starter pack or something. But I don't think we're gonna see like a whole new game because the game isn't necessarily on the disc; it's in everything that you buy to play with it.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, thanks a lot for answering my questions.
Yeah, check out the coverage on the website, and if you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter or comment on
listener mail. Send us listener mail.
Yeah, connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And if you wanna, if you tweet me a question, maybe we will discuss it on a later issue as well. I'm at Enron10.
I don't know much about the game, but you can tweet me @StrikerObi.
Yeah, I mean, you can just do it for the hell of it. Be like, what's your favorite Disney thing? And That would cause
And I will tell you, it's Horizons, which is dead.
All right, yeah, that's it.
See ya.
Bye. We're here to talk about the recent Q1 news for Nintendo. They do have a new system out. It's called the Wii U. And at some point in the near future, there will be a few games released on it again. It seems like they're going for a quarterly dump of releases for the system. But we'll get more into that in a little bit. First, I'll introduce our wild and crazy cast of characters. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and with me, pretty much as always, at least for the most part, Scott Thompson.
Hello.
And we've got just in from Hawaii, Zach Miller.
Racism.
Yes. So, Zach, while you were there, did you meet any fake girlfriends?
I knew it was coming. Who was going to say?
Oh, ha, ha, ha. No. Okay. Actually, the island was shockingly babe-free. I think it was winter there, which just means it gets to 75 instead of like 85 and it rains a lot. So every beach we went to was like kids and their families. And
yeah, going during the off season.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
All right, so before we dive into the Q1 nonsense, I need to talk to you guys about a game I've been playing. It's on the 3DS eShop for $29.99, and it is called Riding Stables 3D.
Oh, nice.
What this game is, and as far as I can tell, not many people are playing it because there's only been 8 reviews on the eShop. It's a shockingly good Nintendogs clone with horses, and I actually like it better than Nintendogs, and I just have to share the ridiculousness of this game because I picked up the review for when I was going to LA last week because I was like, oh, it'll be fun to play something on the plane. And it's, one, it's fucking a $30 eShop only game about horses. And two, it's actually kind of good. And I don't know how to feel about this.
Neil, yeah. This is shocking to me. If the term for someone who likes My Little Pony as a man is brony, I'm going to assume when it's horses, it's just a horny. So you are a horny. And
I mean, there's even a plot in which, like, I guess, like, some old...
Don't tell me like an oil tycoon wants to buy like the plot of land
sort of,
to turn it into a mall.
What it is that like you're apparently the child of some person who used to work at this horse farm or something. And then there is this like old horse farm owner nearby because I guess there's just like this cavalcade of horse farms in this area. Like,
is Robert Redford involved in any of these horse farms?
I think so. He might be the villain. I don't know.
Did your parents die and are there spirits in the horses that you're training?
No, I don't think so. But that would be good for a sequel. Like Riding Stables 2, Ride Harder. I don't know. So then what happens is this old dude dies and then he leaves his horse farm up for a competition. And between your horse, which is like, you know, going out of business, going for broke and stuff, and like they're trying to scrap by with their reject horses that they really love, against like, you know, this oil tycoon guy. Who's apparently like related to the guy who died, but it was in the dude's will that there had to be this competition.
So this is this is basically Seabiscuit.
Yeah, sort of. But the best part about it with like the villain, I forget what his name is, it's like John Moss or something like that. Like no one else has a last name except for this guy. But they have, I mean, the game actually like makes use of like honestly every feature on the 3DS. There's a Street Pass mode that I'll probably never use, in which, like, your horses compete via Street Pass. So, that's a decent implementation of it, despite the fact that if I ever get a Street Pass for that, I will probably shit myself and die.
Just wait till PAX. I have a feeling people will be playing this game ironically, and you will probably have lots of Street Passes.
That's part of the reason why I'm talking about it now.
And, to plant that seed.
And also, you can, like, buy some items with play coins. But the best part about that is that you buy this from this, like, John Moss character who's the villain of the fucking game. So I'm giving him money so that way I can get, like, a horseshoe that I can play with my horse with, which seems fucked up in its own right.
What are you buying?
Go get your shoe. I'm gonna throw it at you. And then, like, there's a lot of, like, gyroscope stuff where it's, like, you have to feed the horse, so you need to, like, direct where you're throwing the food. But, I mean, a lot of the there's a whole bunch of minigames. That's basically what the game is, like, leveling up your horse and leveling up other horses and completing quests.
And that's kind of like that stupid dinosaur game that I got suckered into trying.
But the minigames aren't that bad because they're kind of, like, quick. And not, like, they do get difficult, but they're still, it's like, I think the longest one's, like, 30 or 40 seconds. So,
When did this come out?
I think, like, last month. I don't even know. I just, like, Patrick sent out a whole email being like, we have codes for 15 games. And I'm like, I guess I'll take some.
Do you need to revise your top 5 games of 2012 in any
way? I mean,
This bumps back Kid Icarus, I would think.
Yeah, I think it might, like, come in right after Xenoblade. and right before Scribblenauts Unlimited, I think. I don't know.
You know, speaking of top games of 2012, I like how, you know, I was in Hawaii checking my email, got the list of top 10 games or whatever it was, and I was like, oh, not a single one of mine got on that list. That's cool. How did Nintendo Land get on that list?
Because, like, everyone put it on their list except for you.
Oh, my God.
Right, it's a game everyone played, so it was like, it took that filler spot, you know, it's like, you just couldn't think of something, you're like, well, Nintendo Land wasn't bad.
I don't think Nintendo Land made my list of 10 games that I sent into the site.
Good.
And Zach, just so you know, I did have Mighty Switch Force on my personal one.
Well, that's good.
But I think you and I were like the only two people that had it listed.
How did Revelations not get on that list?
Revelations was probably like 11 or 12.
Oh, you're all morons.
It went down to the wire with that one, but it was just, I mean, well, I think it might have been 12 or 13 because we had the three-way tie.
Oh, yeah.
That we had to take to another vote for some inside poop. Know that, Leighton and the Miracle Mask was our 11th game and it got knocked out by the last story in Little Inferno.
Little Inferno? Oh my God.
Yeah. There's a lot of grassroots support for Little Inferno, man. I don't know what, I think that was like my number 3 game or something. I love Little, or no, it might have been number 5. I don't know. I fucking love that game. But anyway, let's talk about the future now.
I don't want to talk about the future. It's worse.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you're lucky, Zach. There's not much to talk about.
Yeah, we won't be here for too long. let's start off with the happy stuff. 3DS, truthfully, doesn't really look too bad. We got, coming out on February 4th, we got Fire Emblem Awakening, which Scott's reviewing and has in his possession right now, but he hasn't gotten very far. I think I've actually played more of the game through the demo.
You technically have, I started school this week, so this is like the worst possible week, but I finished all my homework today, so like tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday's Martin Luther King Day, so I don't have school. It's like going to be Fire Emblem nonstop, so.
Yeah, I went from being like, I don't know, to being completely fucking on board. That demo is pretty sweet, and that game looks awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm totally, totally excited. I mean, even the first 10 minutes, I was just like, yes, this is
perfect. It looks beautiful, and I really like, I mean, it just seems very streamlined. Like, there's less of a barrier for entry than in past games.
I downloaded that Star Stacker instead.
Oh, I got that too. I haven't played it yet, because I wanted to play the Fire Emblem demo.
It's fun.
Before we recorded. Yeah. I'm excited to play it. Going down that Nintendo train, on February 10th, we have Brain Age Concentration Training.
Okay.
Which I'll get.
Well, yeah.
I hope it's not more than. I mean, if it's $20, I will totally get it. If it's more than that, then it'll be a question.
I wouldn't even pay $20 for it. Do you guys still care about Brain Age games? I don't care. If it was free on the system, I might look at it once.
I like Brain Age games generally. If $20 is kind of like
the limit.
Yeah. No, like it might be $30. I'm not sure. Oh. I feel like I should look this up. We'll come back to that. I'll confirm it.
Well, I mean, what do you like about the original Brain Age? I mean, there was the Sudoku puzzles, right?
Yeah, dude, fucking Sudoku rules. There was a Dr. Mario relaxing mode, too, in the sequel.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I just enjoy it as kind of like, I talked about this before, that I usually have a game on my 3DS that's, for lack of a better term, my toilet game. It used to be Picross 3D, then it was Mario's Picross, then it was the Brain Age Sudoku thing that was free on Club Nintendo. And then Crosswords Plus has been that latest game. And that's where I'd play Brain Age, likely, on the toilet.
My problem is I don't like Sudoku.
Yeah, I like Sudoku. I enjoy it from time to time. Although playing all that in that Brain Age Express game kind of killed my interest in Sudoku for a while.
Yeah.
I prefer Picross.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I don't think it's in concentration training.
By the way,
heard about that.
I have now beaten every Picross puzzle that's available in Picross 3D.
Welcome to 2 years ago.
You know what? Welcome to your face 2 years ago.
You want to know something so ridiculous with that? Is that not only did I beat every Picross 3D puzzle, but Lauren did. And this, like, happened within, like, 4 months of the game coming out. Like, when the downloadable stuff
That's what I'm
out,
talking
we,
about, the downloadable stuff, too.
But, like, the stuff that's on the cartridge initially, both Lauren and I beat that within 2 months of the game coming out. Like, I don't know what happened and why we just became fucking savants at that game. And then she proceeded to play it for the next year and a half. And she would just play random puzzles and try to improve her time.
Oh, cool.
It was crazy.
It's cray-cray.
We'll continue with the Nintendo releases for this, this quarter. After that, the next 3DS release is Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon and Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Gates to Infinity, both on March 24th.
That seems like a good move.
What that says to me is that there will be, I don't think it'll be a hardware redesign, but there will be some special 3DS XL coming out on March 24th. Because the last time they did something where they're like, oh, guess what? Two Nintendo games are coming out on the same day. It was when the DSi was released. Because I think it was WarioWare DIY, and it might have been like America's Test Kitchen or something, but still, it was two games coming out on the same day.
So we got a 3DS Pocket.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think it'll be a complete hardware redesign. It would be too soon after that, but I think we'll get like new colors of the XL or something that. But I'm super stoked for Dark Moon.
What do you guys think about that? I mean, we'll talk about Dark Moon in a second, but the Fire Emblem 3DS.
I don't care at all.
I mean, it's an old 3DS. Who the fuck cares?
That's what I thought. Like, why? That's so weird.
I don't think we'll ever be able to find out how well it sold, but I'd be real curious because I don't think it's going to sell well.
Yeah, I don't get that. Unless they just had, like, hardware laying around, like a surplus, and thought, well, just slap a Fire Emblem thing on it and ship it off, you know? And make it a collector's item and maybe sell some that way. I mean, that's all I can think. I don't know why you would create a special piece of shit, you know?
Yeah. Oh, dude, bullshit. Brain Age Concentration Training is $35.
Oh my god.
Yo, fuck that. Fuck that so hard.
So what? We should probably take bets on whether or not Neil will still purchase.
I'll probably still buy it.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the yeah, he will.
Like, go get the review copy. But,
That's going to Tyler.
Oh.
Tyler's all about them Brain Age. So does anyone give a crap about Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Gates to Infinity?
Nope.
Okay, moving on. Read Alex Kalafi's preview if you do give a crap about it. I couldn't care less. He cares a little bit.
And he likes Pokemon a lot, so yeah. He only cares a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's still like Mystery Dungeon games, especially those Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games. Like, they're real rough. That was one of my first reviews for the site, was that Pokemon Mystery Dungeon game that James and I both reviewed, in which it was kind of like, I just remember being kind of positive on it when I first played it, and then there was a slow descent into just like, this is an abomination and a crime against humanity. I hate this. I'm going to quit NWR. And fortunately, I didn't. And now we're here. So the last game, this isn't even a Q1 game, but Nintendo did acknowledge the existence of the LEGO City Undercover 3DS game, which is subtitled The Chase Begins, because it details Chase, what the hell is his name? Chase McCain, as a rookie cop. And it's on the 3DS. It's a prequel to the Wii U game coming out a month after the Wii U game. That's literally all we know about it.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good move.
So looking at the other 3DS releases, we also got Etrian Odyssey 4 coming out on February 26th. I think I'm actually going to play this game. I've always been curious about the Etrian Odyssey series, especially as it's kind of evolved into being a little more user-friendly. Like, there is a casual mode here, which is just basically, like, it'll bone you in the butt a little less harder.
Okay.
Because in the original, it's pretty much like, you know, you die, you start all the way at the beginning. Whereas this one, like, you can save. And then you go back to a save point instead of starting all over.
Right, because it's a roguelike, so the idea is you get as far as you can, you die, and then you basically start over. Yeah,
that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of curious. I'm not 100% committed to it, but I'm interested. And then there's Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner Soul Hackers. There's two colons in that for anyone keeping score at home. Only one in Etrian Odyssey 4, and that subtitle is Legends of the Titan. Yeah. Apparently, it's a really beloved game. I just don't have much interest for it.
Every Saturn game is beloved. Because everybody who owned a Saturn, it's kind of like the Dreamcast. Except it lasted even shorter.
Now, Zach, are you curious at all about Castlevania Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate? Which is coming out on March 5th.
I am. The E3 game did show promise. It was rough around the edges. And I don't like the idea of exploring the same castle with three different characters instead of having a real Metroidvania castle.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll be good to have a 2.5D Castlevania game on on a portable system.
I went from the 3DS demo at E3. I was kind of super turned off because it seems really, really combat heavy, and I don't really like that in my Metroidvania games, which is why I don't like the Spider-Man games that John
Oh, man,
love.
Those are terrible.
I get the idea of it, and it was kind of nice, but it was just so combat heavy, and that's what Mirror of Fate seems like it's going to be to me. But sure enough, when they announced the release date, I watched the trailer, and was just kind of like, I don't know, man. This might actually be fun, but I don't know. I mean, I'm just hankering for some 2D Castlevania.
I'll be interested to compare it to other, you know, the other games, and to the Lords of Shadow game that I have not yet beat.
Yeah, I mean, this will be a game that I'll definitely wait for reviews before I make a purchase decision. But there's going to be a demo, I think.
Hopefully it's not the same E3 demo.
Hopefully. It's for their sake. And that's pretty much it for retail 3DS games. Well, there's Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, which I guess we'll talk about that more when we get to the Wii U.
I'm more excited about that for the possibility of the CircuitPad Pro XL.
Yeah. And that's March 19th. That's when that's coming out. It's the kind of thing where, like, I'm going to have to pick, like, am I going to play this on Wii U or am I going to play it on 3DS? I think I'm going to play this game. I really dug what I played of Monster Hunter 3 on the Wii, but that was just one of those games that I got really into it for, like, 2 weeks, and then I had finals at college, and then that killed all of my momentum for the game because I tried to pick it back up, but just, I mean, it's a really dense game, especially when you're first learning it. And I put a lot of time into it and then, you know, was writing papers and taking exams and stuff. And then came out of that and was like, nope, I can't go back to this.
Maybe there'll be transferring.
Maybe. Well, I think there is. I think you can, I think you could transfer the save data between the two. I know you can play. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can.
That is shockingly forward thinking.
You can play online with the three, or like play together with the 3DS game and the Wii U game.
Oh,
like
my
in the
Lord.
Same room and stuff. I mean,
that's
pretty
cool.
I'm still on the fence as to which version I'll get, but I'll probably pick that up.
I won't get either one.
But
there
are too many games coming out in like a week period in March. Because right after that, you have Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. You also have, you know, like Need for Speed. There's some. Oh, and Lego City is the day before that game, too. And that's pretty much it for the 3DS retail-wise. There's some cool stuff coming. Download wise on that, like Ghost Recon Shadow Wars next week is going to be an eShop download, which is a pretty well received Fire Emblem esque 3DS launch game.
But it's going to be full price.
The price is TBD. So, I mean, I think if Ubisoft is smart, they make it like $20 or even less. Because Bitrip Saga was $15, and that made a lot of sense. Nano Assault EX will finally come out in Q1. Renegade Kids has ATV Wild Ride 3D, which is coming out in Q1. Tokyo Crash Mobs came out today. And then we got Ika-chan and Guxt from Nicholas. That's coming out Q1. Resident Evil the Mercenaries 3D is going to be a download game too. If that's like $15-$20, I might consider that because I really enjoyed that game and I'd love to have that on the system. Yeah, I mean, I reviewed it very, very highly. People call me crazy, but like, dude, Mercenaries is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so now we're going to get to the Wii U. Yeah. Well, we'll say the Wii. Pandora's Tower is coming out in spring. Cool.
That's crazy.
All right, I did not expect that, but moving on. So the Wii here for Q1, here's the entire list of games that are slated to come out. We'll do it in order. The next relevant game is February. Okay, well, we'll even include the eShop for those who care. The Cave is coming out on January 22nd. Is anybody interested in that? I don't think I'll get it. I'm not a big adventure game guy.
I don't care.
It seems cool, though. Then on February 7th, Fist of the North Star, Ken's Rage 2, is coming out. It's a retail game that's coming out as a download. It came out in Japan as a retail game. It's by Tecmo. I think it's like Dynasty Warriors kind of game. Then a few weeks later, Rayman Legends comes out on February 26th, which, you know, I'm super fucking excited for that game,
right? I can deal with that.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Isn't the single player, like, not what you'd expect? Isn't it you're controlling the little lightning bug dude?
I think it's like you go between both. Like, I don't know. They've still kind of been unclear about that.
Well, can't you play the demo single player?
Yeah, and in the demo single player, there's actually a point where you just control the touchscreen guy, and then the co-op player is AI control.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't like that.
I don't mind it.
I want more Rayman Origins type gameplay in my single player.
I feel like there is a potential for this game to be a letdown, but I'm hoping that it won't. Because it's been, like, think of the hype that this game has gotten. There's been nothing but glowing things that people have said about this game since E3.
True.
I don't think it can live up to that hype. I think it's unsustainable. So the next game to come out, I'm pretty sure The Amazing Spider-Man Ultimate Edition, which is a port of last July's Spider-Man game that came out alongside the movie. It's just listed as March here, but I think it's like March 3rd or something like that, at least according to some retailer listings. That seems like it'll probably be on the money. And then, on March 18th, LEGO City Undercover comes out, which is Nintendo's big Q1 release on the Wii U.
Wish I cared about that game.
I'm still kind of interested in it. I don't have the highest hopes, but I feel like there's potential. Like, the idea of this kind of, like, Grand Theft Auto-esque LEGO game is pretty cool. And from hearing Scott talk about LEGO Batman 2, if they can just do something like that, that could be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it just has the humor of LEGO Batman 2, or of all the LEGO games, really. Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be pretty good.
Yeah. And then on March 19th, there are three games coming out. We got Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, which we talked about. The 3DS version's coming out on the same day. The box art for that game looks pretty awesome, if I do say so myself. Then we got The Croods, Prehistoric Party, which is based off that movie that, I don't know, looks pretty dumb, but I've realized that my taste for the jokes in those CGI animated movies has kind of lessened. I saw a trailer for that at,
I don't even remember, but I was instantly turned off.
Probably Wreck-It Ralph, right? Did you go see that?
I did not see Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, okay. That's when I saw it. And yeah, it just looks really bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm very, very picky. I mean, it's just, I don't think it's so much that, like, I've become, like, some mightily old asshole, but it's just that, like, my tastes have slightly changed and that, like, I don't really like those kind of mainstream cartoons more. Like, I'm digging, like, you know, the new Turtle Show, Young Justice, and stuff like that. And that's kind of like, I like the kids' humor in those shows, and I don't really care for it as much in the big animated movies. That'll probably change if I have a child, because my brother keeps on telling me about how, oh, Despicable Me is the funniest shit ever. And I'm like, you are 30. He's like, but I have a 4-year-old kid. And I'm like, okay, point taken. Yeah, and then Need for Speed Most Wanted is coming out on March 19th, which is going to have some cool gamepad-specific modes, you know, off-TV play. And also, it has stuff where, like, one person will be able to, like, use the touchscreen and have a view of the whole map, the race, and that's stuff where you're trying to avoid the cops, so, like, that person will be like, oh, watch out, there's a cop coming up on your left, as the person plays it on the screen. That seems pretty interesting.
But then somebody else can use the Wii wheel to steer or whatever.
I hope you can just use the fucking Pro Controller. If not, but I should be checking this game out, or at least someone from this site will. I think it's February 13th. There's an EA event in New York City. We just got an invite for it. So that's the only Wii U game that EA has. Considering that's one of 10 Wii U games coming out in this quarter, I guess that's important. We also have some things that are just listed as Q1. Some eShop games like Runner 2, Puddle, which is already out in Europe, by the way. Tokitori 2 and Zen Pinball 2. Both of those two were supposed to come out in December. So that blows. But Tokitori 2 looks really awesome, and they keep on adding more stuff, which I think is part of the reason why it didn't come out in December. And then the last Q1 game is Aliens Colonial Marines, which right before we started recording, I went on a huge rant because I can't fathom why this game is coming out alongside the other releases. You know, it's coming out on 360, PS3, and PC on February 13th or something around there. Maybe February 12th. I forget exactly.
Something like that.
And I don't know why it's not coming out on Wii U. We know that, you know, Gearbox and likely the developer on the game, WH Studios, they've had dev kits since E3 2011. So that, you know, going on at probably 2 years, I don't know why this game isn't coming out alongside the other versions. And it's kind of like stupid.
You know, what's funnier to me is that, the game itself has been in development more or less since 2006.
Yeah.
It's just mind blowing that it hasn't come out yet.
Yep.
And I don't know.
There is a reasonable explanation for that. I think when it was announced, the game had not started development yet. Oh, it was okay. Just that, like, Gearbox and Sega and I guess whoever owns the Aliens. Was it Universal?
I don't know.
Fox. Yeah, it is Fox. But, like, they basically agreed on a partnership to make a game.
Oh.
And, you know, Gearbox was, I think, working on Borderlands or something at the time. So, like, they didn't really have the team ready for it. I don't think it's been as delayed as it appears.
Okay.
I think it might have been slightly delayed, because I think it might have been supposed to come out in Q4 last year.
Well, what really worries me about it is that they are very reluctant, or maybe reluctant is the wrong word, they just have not shown off any single player. I mean, it's just like the new God of War game that's coming out. They refuse to show off any single-player content.
It's weird. Did you play the beta at all? Or you don't have Plus, do you?
I don't have Plus.
I know. Well, I was going to check out the beta, and then, like, I downloaded the beta, and then I went to play the beta, and it's like, oh, you need to download an update, and I was like, fuck you, and then I turned off my PS3. Then I went and played a game that, you know, actually started when I wanted to play it.
It's like, I'm not playing God of War for multiplayer.
Any person who owns a PS3 and complains about that Wii U initial update, like, shut up.
Yeah, the PS3 every time you turn it on.
You can still complain about it, but if you're like, Nintendo done fucked up. Like, look at Sony. They fucked up for 5 years. Like, there have been so many times where I've gone to play a PlayStation 3 game, and then it has to download an update and install it, and by that time, I'm like, all right, well, my time to play that game is already kind of gone because I had to wait a half an hour.
I guess I'll play Wii U while this downloads.
I've literally, like, turned on, like, when I was in college and I just got the PS3, there have been times where I just would leave the PS3 on, switch the input, and, like, play 360 or Wii. There have been many, many times where I've done that, and that just, like, it's so depressing.
My favorite PS3 update was when I hadn't played Little Big Planet in like 3 months. Popped that sucker in. It downloaded 8 updates.
Wow.
It took like an hour.
Oh, it bothers me so much because I just like, I want to play games on my PS3. And it's like, with PlayStation Plus games, it's like, I just fucking downloaded you. Why are you installing an update? Like, I'm scared to play Bioshock 2 because I'm afraid I'm going to wait 4 days before I can play it.
And you can't do anything else while shit's updating.
Yeah. Although, yeah. Zach, I am probably going to take another crack at Darksiders because it's...
Sweet!
It just got added to the Instant Game Collection.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, stick with it. I mean, it's... The dungeons are incredibly
fun. It'll
be
my third attempt at playing that game.
That's funny.
First time I got an hour into it, and then the second time I got like 4 hours into it. I don't like the combat. Well, the combat's not bad. I just don't like how it's so combat heavy.
We're not talking about
Q1 anymore.
Is there anything to talk about with Q1 anymore?
Here's
a Q1 thing for you. Notice that there are no virtual console games listed under either eShop.
Yeah.
Not one.
Well, I don't know. That's not surprising, really, I don't think.
Well, considering that Kirby Star Stacker just came out today, I wouldn't look into that too much.
Well, they just don't have a release calendar. They're just like, maybe we should release Star Stacker today. All right.
I mean, I think just be it's more worrisome because in the past they've usually included Virtual Console games in these lists. I would not worry about the 3DS Virtual Console being completely dry. Like, I mean, if you notice over the past like couple months, it's actually gotten some good stuff. Unfortunately, most of them are NES games that I've played to death already. I'm excited that Star Stacker came out. I wasn't super pumped for like Lost Levels and Mega Man, considering that I have played both games a lot.
I'll be excited for Mega Man 2.
Yeah, I'll get Mega Man 2 because that game's comfort food for me.
Oh yeah,
I'll play that.
2 and 3.
Yeah,
2 and 3 are good.
Yeah, I think and 4 is good.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, all the other ones after that are fine, but 2 and 3 is like.
Yeah.
I think that's tops right there.
I think 2 is just like they nailed the formula, and 3 is kind of like improving on that formula. But for me, it's like 2 is kind of the game that got me into it.
Oh yeah.
Well, I played 9, and then I went back to 2, and then I was like, oh, okay, this is the good shit. I mean, 9's really good too, but
9 is hard as fuck.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't worry so much about the Virtual Console stuff on 3DS. I would worry about it on Wii U, and I just, like, they have to say something about it. They keep on being like, no, seriously, guys, it's going to come to Wii U. But with this big Alolan releases, like, what the fuck are you doing?
We'll probably get a Nintendo Direct, and they'll just announce that it's coming, and then, like, within a week it'll be available with an update, and there'll be some, you know, a bunch of new games and stuff. That's why nothing's listed. I mean, I think they're just going to wait, and they're going to blow it out.
Yeah.
I don't know how soon that will be. Hopefully soon. Hopefully
they'll have a Wii U Summer of Arcade.
Well, they did do the Virtual Console Arcade, like the Virtual Console Summer, yeah. 8-bit Summer. That's what it
was. That's what I mean.
With,
yeah.
3DS, yeah.
But there's the other big news that we haven't talked about is the delays.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So four games that were listed as a launch window. The launch window ends March 31st, 2013, according to Nintendo. Game & Wario, The Wonderful 101, Pikmin 3, and Wii Fit U will arrive in the first half of this year.
Which really means the second 3 months of this year.
However, I mean, it's the kind of thing where, if we heard that LEGO City was coming out, like, let's say, mid-February, then there's a pretty good possibility that, like, one of these games would probably come out at the end of March. But, like, you got LEGO City coming out on March 18th, you're not going to have, like, Game & Wario come out on March 25th, like, so it definitely is, like, these four games aren't going to get squished into April through June. That's, like, dumb.
I said that's the exact same thing in the Nerds and Men column I wrote today.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the reality of it, is that, like, I don't know why, like, what's taking Game & Wario so long? Like, what the fuck?
I know. What is
and
that
like,
game?
Okay, like, I can get, like, Wonderful 101, like that didn't really to me from what we've seen of that game, that was a game that I kept on thinking, I'm like, they're really gonna make Q1? I don't think that's happening.
No.
Pikmin 3, it seems like they're just keep on polishing and refining that. And, I mean, that's the kind of game that I'm complaining about it being delayed, but I know whenever it comes out, it'll probably be better for having been pushed back.
One would hope.
And then Wii Fit U, I mean, that's another game that, like, we just haven't seen much of, so I'm not super surprised to see it pushed back either. But, like, what kind of schedule are you going to make that all four of these games are going to come out in a 3-month period? That's just not the way Nintendo does things, especially in April, May, and June.
Exactly. And we're forgetting Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing, they
mentioned that in the last Nintendo Direct and showed off parts of it, too. And they said first half of the year. And that's I would say that's optimistically... That's a May release. Cause you think they got LEGO City 3DS is gonna be their April release. And then Animal Crossing should hopefully hit in May. I mean, that seems like a good spot for it. And, I mean, I'm wrong, but they seem to follow once they actually have a system operational, which seems to take them 6 to 9 months, they usually have a good click of like a game a month. Maybe taking off a summer month or something, like I think they did in July last year. Or June and July, actually. It's bullshit.
So, kids, if you want to buy a Wii U and you haven't yet,
wait,
Wait 9 months.
Yeah. Wait for the ambassador program. That's not going to happen. I don't think the price for Wii U is the barrier.
No.
Because people want to buy shit. So I think the barrier is the murky ecosystem of games and the fact that the 360 and PS3 offer comparable experiences for cheaper.
Right. There's been nothing to show people to say this is why you need to have a Wii U.
There's no Wii Sports. Nintendo Land is close in some respects, but I don't think it's not a system seller in that regard. It's more of like that's neat.
Yeah, it's different. Like I could not having to, like, let's pretend I didn't have a Wii U. I could see going to a friend's house and be like, wow, Nintendo Land is awesome. This has been a lot of fun. We should get together and do this again sometime soon. And then that would be it. I'd be fine waiting however long to do it again. But there was something about, like, playing Wii Sports for the first time that when you left, you were just like, man, I gotta get that. You know, like, this is
cool. You
know what?
Cool. I even had that moment with Super Monkey Ball on the GameCube. Like,
that's
I recall.
GameCube too.
It was, well, what happened was my friend, I don't even think he got it at launch. I think the day it came out, like, his parents got it for him for Christmas and let him play it for, like, the day it came out. Mm-hmm. So I went over and played it, and I think we played, we passed the controller back and forth with Luigi's Mansion. Now, Pikmin wasn't out yet, and then we played Monkey Ball, and we just did, like, single-player mode, and we fooled around with the multiplayer stuff, and, like, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
That was so cool. Both games. And yeah. I distinctly remember, like, because it was a friend who lived down the street when I was a kid, walking back from that being like, dude, I can't wait to play more Monkey Ball. Like, that was incredible.
And with the Wii, I mean, not to mention as cool as, like, Wii Sports was, and as much as I wanted to play more of that, it also helped that it was like, oh, there's a totally new Zelda game that you can play as well. So it's like, wow, I can do both of these
things.
Yeah,
I mean, the Mario
game
does that to a certain extent.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, you know, it's 2D Mario. It's great, you know.
It's nothing that reinvents the wheel. And actually, Lauren was playing a little bit of it, and, like, that game is beautiful. I really, really enjoy it, and it's a fantastic game. I wouldn't have given it a frickin' 9.5 if I didn't think it was a fantastic game. But, I mean, it's kind of my issue with E3 last year, is that there was nothing that surprised me. Even Nintendo Land, it was just like, oh yeah, all those demos from last year, that makes sense.
Yeah, there was just nothing. I mean, there's a lot. It was a good launch. There were a lot of good games, but there was. It just wasn't that one that, you know, made you think you needed to get this system right away if you were on the fence.
I mean, that's the thing with the 3DS, and maybe we'll see this with Wii U games in time. But just from, like, what we've seen and what we've heard about, there's nothing that's kind of like. It's not like, oh, the Wonderful 101 is going to blow my mind. Like, Wonderful 101 looks like it's going to be great, but it still doesn't look like something wholly new. That's the thing on 3DS is that, like, that fall you had Mario 3D Land. Which is incredible. In a Kid Icarus. Kid Icarus was, like, who would have thought?
You're the only one saying this about Kid Icarus. A lot of people thought, who would have thought this game would have been this bad? But you... you're the one.
Hey, asshole. Go check around the internet. There were a lot of people that dug Kid Icarus.
No, I know, but I think you're stretching Kid Icarus's reception a bit much if you're saying people looked at that and thought, I need to get a 3DS. It was good, but
I would definitely not say it's a system seller. But I mean, it was something like name a game that is comparable to Kid Icarus in a big way. Like, okay, I guess it's vaguely like, you know, a Star Fox,
Liberation
or a
Maiden.
Yeah. So it's vaguely like that in some parts.
I will say it was great to see a 3DS game with so much production value.
Yeah,
you know, I'll say that regardless of gameplay. I mean, there was a lot of love put into that game, and you can tell.
Yep. And the Wii U needs games, you know, like Mario 3D Land, like Mario Kart, and like Kid Icarus, where it's, you know, that kind of, that game that is just, you know, mind-blowing, really, really good, like Mario 3D Land, that, you know, that really, really solid game in a series that you expect to see more of, like Mario Kart, which I guess you kind of get that with, like, New Super Mario Bros. U and stuff. And then that kind of, like, off-kilter thing that, you know, hits real well with some people and I guess misses with others.
Yeah. But you're right, I mean, even the second, like, salvo of games isn't going to do this. I mean, I don't think Pikmin is a
system
seller.
I'm looking forward to it, but
yeah, same
here. I wouldn't buy the fucking system for Pikmin.
Yeah. I mean, we fit you, maybe, but I mean, I don't know. Is,
no, Scott,
I mean, not for our crowd, but for
no,
other
well,
crowd.
Obviously not for our crowd, but I don't know. I feel like that's kind of, Wii Fit worked because everyone already had a Wii, you know? It was like, maybe the kids played it, but mom and dad, there was already a Wii in the house, and it was like, well, look, Oprah's talking about this, and you can work out with your kid's video game system. Cool. But, you know, like, are you really going to invest over $400 to get Wii Fit U and a Wii U as just someone who's looking to work out? I mean, you could get, like, 10 years worth of a gym membership to that amount, you know? It's just, I don't know. I don't think that game's going to do anywhere near as well as the originals did, but we'll see. Sorry to be bleak, but...
it's the kind of thing where, like, I do not regret getting a Wii U, and I'm looking forward to some games coming out for it. It's just disheartening to kind of see this time where, like, Nintendo kind of had to be on their shit. Like, they only have, a year window before Microsoft and Sony come out with their new consoles. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, they're screwed and they're doomed. Like, they'll survive. But it's just, like... fucking up, man.
Right, that's not the time when you want to be showing off the next, like, Super Mario Galaxy game, or, you know, whatever it is, when you're just going to be totally overshadowed by whatever they're doing. Like, this E3 is going, they're going to be in the spotlight, whereas, like, the last two E3s has all been on Nintendo because of their console, you know, launch and stuff like that, so.
And unless maybe Nintendo's thought process is like, oh, we're going to try to take them down, which I think is dumb.
No, totally not. And I don't think they think that. I think they think of themselves as being in a different, like, a different plane entirely.
Yeah.
I don't think they think of Sony and Microsoft as competitors anymore.
Nope.
For better or worse. So.
Yeah. But man, it would be incredible if they went and, like, pulled a GameCube 2002 to 2003 and were just like, bam, Zelda, Mario, Metroid, fuck you.
Oh man. That'll never happen again.
They did kind of do that, didn't? What was that? That was 2009, where they showed off. Well,
they
revealed
did it with the Wii, yeah.
Yeah, they revealed Other M. They had
Skyward Sword. They showed that one
Skyward,
like,
Sword.
That one artwork, yeah.
And, you know, Mario Galaxy 2 and New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Yeah, and maybe even Donkey Kong.
No, that was a year after.
Oh, really?
Might have been. Okay. Yeah, that was 2010.
They didn't announce it then. Okay.
Nope, because that was the same time when Kirby's Epic Yarn was announced.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, I think that's all about Q1, as we're talking about, you know, fall 2010. I think that means we should stop.
So what games are you guys going to play in the next 3 months while we don't have anything to play?
Well, Fire Emblem, and then I'll probably take that into Rayman Legends, and then I'll probably have a little bit of a break, and then I'll play Luigi's Mansion, and maybe Lego City or Monster Hunter and BioShock Infinite.
Oh yeah, BioShock. Yeah,
that'll be good. If Aliens ever comes out on Wii U, that'll be great.
I mean, I think I'm gonna hold that for the Wii U version whenever it is, if I get that game.
Me too. Just the multiplayer, I think it'll be
and
fun
I'm
to play.
And I'm
real
curious about that Devil May Cry game.
No, don't do it. Don't do it,
dude. It's ridiculous. I'm hearing things about it, and I'm just like, that sounds like everything I want in a video game.
He's emo now.
He was always emo.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, now he looks like a punk off the street.
He looked like a douche in the other one. Like, it doesn't seem like a big change.
Yeah.
People are overvaluing the character design of Dante in the original Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
Now, I am excited about, of course, Dead Space 3 and BioShock Infinite.
Oh, yeah, Dead Space 3. That's going to be good.
Did you guys see the gigantic special edition for Dead Space 3?
No.
It costs like $150, and I am considering it.
What do you get?
You get like a marker statue, you get a whole bunch of, a giant art book, like maybe a soundtrack, a whole bunch of, like posters from the game. It's a ton of stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, guess whatever floats your boat there.
I don't know. I was kind of disappointed by the Dead Space 2 Special Edition. Just because that...
Well, didn't that come with the...
It came with a plasma cutter flashlight.
Extraction? Dead Space Extraction?
Oh, it came... Well, that came with all the PS3 versions, though.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Special edition-y, but... All right, that's
well,
all.
Let's call it a podcast. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Alright, and that will do it for this week's episode of Connectivity. As always, you can send us listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. If you get a chance to rate and review us on iTunes, that would be awesome as well. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're interested in hearing JP and I talk about the upcoming NHL season, feel free to stick around. If not, we'll see you next week. this segment of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson, and today I'm joined by JP Corbin.
Hello.
Hello, and we're going to be talking about the NHL. So most of you by now have probably turned this off, but for the yes. few that want to hear two guys talk about hockey, welcome.
You made the right choice.
Yeah, I hope so. So we're going to talk a little bit about the lockout and what a bummer that was, and this new shortened season and what that's going to mean, and talk about our favorite teams a little bit, and then just make some wild predictions league-wide. So should be pretty good. And wild isn't like a little allusion that I'm going to be talking about the Minnesota Wild because I don't really care about them. So don't read too much into that one.
You might want to. That's a hot young team with a lot of buzz going into the season.
I guess so. I don't know.
We'll see. Your division, though, right? They're in the Blackhawks division, aren't they?
No, they're not.
Oh, they're not. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the divisions in the Western Conference that well.
It's so funny because I don't know the divisions that well in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I can tell you all the Eastern Conferences, but you know, I think there's, some odd decisions, I guess.
Yeah, no, the Minnesota, I always forget the name of the division, but they're in the same division as the Oilers and Vancouver.
Northwest or Pacific or whatever it is.
One of those. I think Northwest. I think Pacific is all like the California
Pacific
teams.
California, and I believe.
Dallas
and Phoenix.
Yeah, that sounds right. So, all right, well, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that that lockout first. So after the season ended pretty much immediately, I was hearing a lot of talk about don't get your hopes up too high that things are going to start on time or things are going to run smoothly, with sort of the CBA, up for negotiation. And I was kind of surprised that they waited all the way till August to even start meeting and trying to work out a deal.
That's what really bothered me is because it seemed like once they really got serious about talking, they started to make progress, but they just wasted a whole lot of time before they got to that point. Cause it really wasn't even until even into November or something before they really got serious about talking.
Right. Yeah. It felt like that. There'd be meetings and then both sides, the players and the league, would make their proposals, and then neither would like the other's proposal, wouldn't negotiate at all, and then would just sort of leave and then come back in a couple weeks and do the same thing again. It really felt like there was just no progress whatsoever.
I think even before we got to the point of the lockout, you had to be worried when the NHL Players Association made Donald Fehr their president. Because if you didn't know, Donald Fehr was the man in charge of the Baseball Players Union during the 1994 players' strike. So he has a history of work stoppages, and of course the league back in 2005 had a lockout before this. So Gary Bettman and the owners are very experienced with this. So you had to be worried when this kind of went down.
Exactly. You had the leader of both sides seemed willing to go to a full cancellation of a season if necessary. Or at least losing games in the very least, if not a whole season. Same thing as once they initially got to that lockout point, I was kind of just like, well, who even knows anymore? You know, who knows how long this is going to drag on? And like you said, JP, it wasn't until November that it even felt like they were making progress. They had that one week where they met and it was really weird. They set it up so Bettman and Fehr wouldn't be there. It was just like a group of players and a group of owners.
That's when they had the most progress from the sounds of it. I mean, you don't know what happened in there, but it sounded like they made the most progress when Bettman and Fehr weren't in the room.
Right. And then supposedly, the owners were trying to pressure the players to, go ahead and sign a deal then without even getting Fehr back in it. And, and just, trying to get it done that night. And then they waited. And then once Bettman and Donald Fehr got back in, it was just
you went back into your corners.
Exactly.
Kind of went back, yeah.
And what a bunch of bullshit that was. Were you following it that night when it was when Fehr came out and he was doing his press conference?
The podium? Was that the podium night?
The podium was the night before.
Oh, okay.
They had the podium out. There was the Twitter account.
I don't remember it entirely. Oh, there were several Twitter accounts. There was all, most of the information I've gotten over the whole course of the lockout was over Twitter. I mean, there was so much there.
Yeah. But it was that, it was really easy to follow along on Twitter. It was great because, obviously there wasn't much mainstream coverage. I mean, SportsCenter wasn't breaking down the negotiations that day.
Yeah, and it seemed like, I wasn't getting it for a lot of it, but it seemed like my impression was the NHL Network was kind of ignoring it somewhat. I mean, it wasn't really talking about it.
Well, no, they weren't even doing their normal, like, NHL Tonight or anything. It was just like, let's show replays of cup-winning games.
There really wasn't anywhere, because, you know, ESPN, at least in the United States, doesn't pay much attention to hockey. You can put, like, 5 minutes, like, if that, of SportsCenter talking on, hey, the lockout's still going on. You know, it's, you know, even when the season's going, they don't spend much time on it, but especially during the lockout, you didn't hear much. So there really wasn't much place besides Twitter to get information.
Absolutely, yeah, just following a bunch of the Canadian reporters from, like, TSN and stuff.
I got it. I got a lot of the, being a Philadelphia Flyers fan, I get a lot of the people who cover the Flyers, and I got information through them.
Sure, the local, like, beat reporters, same here. But that day after the podium gate where they pulled the podium out and everyone was waiting with bated breath to see what
was there ever an announcement? I mean, did they ever use the podium?
No, I think they came out and basically said, we're going to meet again tomorrow. But then that was the day, that next day was when Fair was out there and he was talking about how they made a lot of progress and he thinks they're close. And then he checked his voicemail and it was like a voicemail from Bill Daly, I think, saying like, deals off, everything's off the table.
There were a lot of ups and downs over the course of it. There were, you know, multiple times over the course of the lockout where you think, well, this is going to happen. Within the next couple days, there's going to be a deal and then something would come up that set them back or, you know, the NHL would make an offer that sounded good, but then the players, you know, said, no, we're going to do this. And you know, you had a lot of back and forth that it seemed like they were close and then they wouldn't be. And, I kind of gave up at a certain point. I just, like, you know, I kind of resigned myself to thinking, well, there's probably not going to be a season.
The point at which I pretty much stopped caring and just said whatever was when they canceled the Winter Classic.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge decision. I mean, that was... And they made that really early. It was, like, you know, late November they made that call. They didn't even really give it a chance.
Yeah, now granted, I mean, that's a lot of planning. That takes place. I mean, but yeah, I think they could have held out. I think that was, they were trying to play that to pressure the players and it just didn't work.
Yeah. It didn't work the way they wanted it to.
No, but yeah, at that point I was just like, you know, just fuck it and just whatever. Yeah. When it comes back, it comes back. I can't really be involved anymore.
Red Wings and Maple Leafs, I don't care that much.
Yeah. If anything, I was upset that now we have to spend a whole nother year waiting to watch the Maple Leafs and the Red Wings again. I was hoping it would just skip them and go to two.
It would be nice if they did that.
But yeah, I won't. It's going to be the same team.
I know. You being a Blackhawks fan, you can't be that much of a fan of the Red Wings, and I certainly am not. So I think that's one thing we can agree on, you know.
Yeah, and the Maple Leafs, I mean, are just atrocious as a team. So that's not going to be the most fun game to watch, but oh well. I mean, it's the Winter Classic. I'll watch it.
That's the thing. Detroit is perennially really good, and Toronto is, like, terrible. You're not going to get a competitive game between those two teams.
Right. It was a weird choice. I'm surprised. I mean, I guess at the time they announced it, they didn't know the renovations Minnesota was going to go through, but it seems like getting Minnesota in one of those games soon would be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, doing it in Minnesota would be a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
If they would come out for it. They're crazy about hockey in Minnesota. I mean, you do, like, Minnesota-Detroit would be a heck of a game, both in terms of, you know, interest and in terms of quality on the ice.
Absolutely. But yeah, so then it was kind of quiet for a long while after the podium, you know, week. And then all of a sudden, and you know, and they actually met with mediators at some point in, I think, December. And the mediators were basically like, yeah, they're too far apart. This is a waste of our time to keep talking to them.
The mediators came back right in the week or so before they finally got a deal. I mean, it seemed to work better the second time around. They got closer and I mean, you could tell for a few days leading up to the deal they were making progress and this might actually happen.
Yeah, that Saturday, you kind of started hearing, like, you know, that they were going to meet all day and that it was getting close. And then it started to come out more and more that a deal was going to get done. And then I went to bed while they were still meeting. I mean, I went to bed at, like, 1 a.m. Central and they're apparently still in the room meeting. And then I checked my phone at about, like, 6 a.m., and a deal was done, which was pretty amazing. And then I got really excited by the fact that the season was going to start in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, I was kind of apathetic over most of the lockout, but I've been really excited since the deal got made. You know,
right?
And, you know, I couldn't wait, you know.
And it sucks because I just feel like we're playing into their hand. Like, they knew hardcore hockey fans would come back, and I think that's why they weren't too worried
about
how long this
dragged on. That was why they were willing to go this long.
Right. I'm interested to see what it does to casual fans.
I think the league was making real gains in casual fans. It was getting more mainstream popular, and I think they just wiped all that out. I think they have to start from scratch in that regard now.
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean, I just read a story the other day about how in Columbus right now they have the lowest season ticket holder number of, like, all time for that franchise. They have, like, under 7,000 people with season tickets.
Part of it is that team is just terrible.
Yeah, pretty bad. I mean, and then you trade your one, like, superstar over the summer and get, I mean, pieces, but nothing equivalent to what Nash can be, so.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't make sense to keep him on that team, though.
No.
With so many young players and so terrible, you get prospects for him and you rebuild.
Right. It's just going to be a little ways for them still, so. Yeah, but it's great for the Blackhawks because they're in our division, so that's automatic.
Yes,
you know,
because
we
needed someone to weaken the mighty Blue Jackets. they were going to give you too much trouble if they didn't get rid of Nash.
Get rid of Nash, yeah. Yeah, they might score a few goals. And yeah, so now the lockout's over. The season starts today as you're listening to this. We're recording this on Friday, the day before.
Yes, night before. We have less than 24 hours until they start playing.
Yes. Very exciting. So I guess let's talk a little bit about our respective favorite teams. And just what we're expecting. Now, JP, we'll start with you and the Flyers. And interesting that it came out, like, a week ago that they might be interested in trading for Luongo. What did you think about that?
I think that's a crazy thing to do. I mean, you know, I mean, I guess this is going to be my main point to talk about the Flyers, is that this season hinges on the performance of the goalie, Ilya Brizgalov, who is, you know, I think because the last hockey segment we did was for last year's Winter Classic and the 24/7 program, in which Ilya Brizgalov became infamous among hockey fans for his statements. He's a very interesting character, but I think this has the potential to be a big year for him, or should I say, a humongous big year for him, because he, you know, he's more used to the pressures of playing in Philadelphia, which is a very stressful situation. And,
it's a little different than Phoenix.
It's, yeah. Yeah. In that people actually pay attention to the team. But the main issue for him, there's that. He's more used to the pressures of Philadelphia. He was really coming along toward the end of last season before he had a foot injury that kind of held him back. You know, he had one hell of a March last season, and he can kind of play off of that. And another thing to keep in mind is, for those who don't know, he signed before last season a somewhat ridiculous contract, a 10-year, you know, $100 million contract. But one of the stipulations of the new agreement between the players and the league is an amnesty clause, so that you, between after this season, before next season, you can basically wipe clear a contract, because the salary cap is going down after this season, and to be able to accommodate that, teams are allowed to just, you know, get rid of a contract and say, we're not doing this anymore.
Two contracts, even.
Two, yes. But, the thing is, you know, Brizgalov being a huge contract for the Flyers, if he has another disappointing season, I mean, they could easily say, we're done, and remove the 8 more years off the contract. So he has a lot to play for. So and his performance is really what's going to make or break this team. He's helped out by the fact that we've really improved the defense in front of him. You know, they've made it's a lot deeper of a defensive group in front of him. You lose Matt Carl to free agency, which sucked, but you bring in Luke Shen and a couple other defenders to really to you get a bigger, more physical defense in front of him, which is going to help him out. That was the defense last year, which was banged up a lot of the time, you know, it didn't really do him any favors. So,
well, especially in that first playoff series, I think a lot of that was exposed.
Well, especially then, yeah. I mean, because the best defender on the team, and Chris Pronger, who's probably never going to play again.
Sounds like it, yeah.
I mean, he was in training camp. There's, like, some thought that maybe he will show up at some point, but I wouldn't expect it. So it was pretty thin at that point, and it was banged up. And so they've made some improvements there. Outside of trading James Van Riemsdyk to the Maple Leafs for Luke Shen, the defenseman, the offense is pretty much intact from last year. I think that the changes they've made, this is a better team than last year. And, I mean, last year they were a really excellent team. They finished with, I think they were the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference, but they had the second best record because the top 3 records of the Eastern Conference were all in the same division.
Right, yeah.
I think the Flyers, you know, if Brizgalov, and it's a big if, but if Brizgalov can bring it together, I think are a really dangerous team. And I think, you know, if things go right, they could be in the race to win it all.
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. And it's kind of funny. There's, I guess, some similarities between the Blackhawks and the Flyers in that I think a lot of the Blackhawks' hopes this season does rest on their goalie, Corey Crawford. Unlike Brizgalov, who's been given a huge contract and, you know, has played well other places, Crawford's still relatively young. It'll be his second season starting. It'll be his 3rd season with the Blackhawks. He took over for Turco, pretty much halfway through 2 seasons ago. I think that's mostly where it sits. It's just with the goaltending. He was very inconsistent last year. And in fact, the Blackhawks were the only team in the NHL without a shutout last year. Which is kind of a big deal. And then the backup is Ray Emery, who is an old guy, and, well, not old, and he's only 2 years older than Crawford, but he just seems so much older because he's had hip trouble and he's had surgeries and stuff like that, and he's okay as a backup, but he's not going to, like, surprise you and take over the starting job.
I mean, Emery was with the Flyers a few seasons ago. The Flyers really haven't had good goaltending for, like, you know, 15 years. Since Ron Hextall retired, it's really been a pretty up and down. I mean, it really hasn't been that good. Brizgalov has the potential to be, you know, that good, but he hasn't been consistent so far. Yeah, I mean, like, that's hockey. You know, if you get a hot goaltender, you can go as far as you want to go. You know, it's like that's the most thing. You know, if you've got the goaltending, everything else falls into place.
Yep. I mean, it worked for the Kings last season. I mean, not that their offense and defense wasn't good, but I mean, it started, yeah, it ran through
was,
quick.
I mean, that was quick was huge. I mean, you know, like you look at lots of teams. I mean, like, you know, the Rangers didn't go all the way through it, but they rode to the postseason on the back of Henrik Lundqvist. You know, the Devils got there because Marty Brodeur at what is he, 40 now?
But
he had a heck of a run, you know, so it's, you know, it's all about the goaltending. You know, if you've got the goaltending, then you're good, and if you don't, well, then you're screwed.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, other than the goaltender, then, I mean, the entire Blackhawks team is the same team it was last season. They didn't make any moves whatsoever. They picked up a few, like, defensemen who will play some nights and won't play other nights. So they have, like, a new, like, 6th defenseman, basically. But that's not important. But as far as, like, the forwards and the main defensemen go, I mean, it's the same exact team, I think by design, they believe in that team and think if the goaltending can get better, that they'll go far. And B, I think maybe Rocky Wirtz, kind of the owner of the Blackhawks, sort of thought, hey, maybe this lockout will happen and we'll cancel games, and it's going to be best to keep the same team with the same chemistry rather than, you know, try to make a lot of moves
that
probably don't know each other.
That probably kind of helps. I mean, we've had a short, like, week-long training camp over the past week or so, but, you know, if you've got a team that doesn't have experience with each other, that's going to hurt you early on, and in a shortened season, that's not good. You know, you need every win you can get at this, you know, 48 game season. If you're playing a little more than half a season, you know, it's compressed. You get a lot of games in a short period of time. You can't be screwing around.
And you can't afford to lose 3 or 4 games in a row.
No.
I mean, if you get a pretty bad losing streak, I mean, you could fall out of it. Never
especially
come back.
In divisions like our teams are in. They're very competitive divisions, so you've got to worry about that kind of thing.
Right. I mean, apart from the Blue Jackets, of course, I mean, in the Central Division, any of those teams can and probably will make the playoffs. I mean, all 4 of the 5 teams made the playoffs last season.
And that's the same in the Atlantic Division, with the exception of the Islanders. You get the Rangers, the Penguins, the Devils, you know. You get a very, very deep division, and you can get yourself in a hole if you can't play really well out of the gate, so you...
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. So it'll definitely be interesting. And just the style of play, I mean, I'm worried if it's going to be sloppy or if there are going to be a lot of injuries just because guys aren't conditioned. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, you got to worry about the guys. Now, I don't know about all other teams, but I know I've been keeping up, and there were some of the Flyers players were holding their own informal practices during the lockout.
Yeah, same with the Blackhawks. A lot of the guys in Chicago were doing that, too. And then a few guys even went overseas.
Yeah, there were a number of players from the Flyers, and especially two of the best players on the team, in Claude Giroux and Danny Briere, who went over, actually played on the same team in Europe, which was a benefit to them. There's talk they'll be on the same line, but Briere's hurt right now, so we don't know yet. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys have experience, you know, have played some. They've either practiced significantly. The Flyers have a lot of young players. I mean, they had a lot of production from rookies last season, and the nice thing about that is they were young enough and they had the contracts that they could stay and play in the AHL during the lockout. So, I mean, that gave them an opportunity to play consistently and to keep going, and some of the stars went overseas, and a lot of the other guys would practice, you know, a lot of them together, so they would get some experience together when they might not have before. So it's, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you got players who haven't played as much, and then you combine that with a compressed schedule where you're playing a lot more frequently than usual. I think we're going to see a lot of injuries in this season.
Yeah, I think so. It will be interesting because I think you'll see a lot of injuries, but then on the flip side, I think the long time off will have done some players a lot of good. Like, I don't know specifically for the Flyers, but I know for the Blackhawks, Marian Hossa got destroyed by Rafi Torres in the playoffs last year and was concussed pretty bad and wasn't cleared to play until November. So he had all that recovery time and then still had 2 months to take it easy once being cleared to play, and I think he's going to come back a lot better for it.
Yeah, players who were banged up had some extra time to heal, which definitely helps those guys who were in that position. Unfortunately, the Flyers, you know, Danny Briere, second-line center, got injured a couple weeks ago, and so he picked a bad time to get hurt. So now he's going to miss the first week or so of the season.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, in a short season with as many games in a short period of time, momentum is going to be huge. You know, you can get on a streak kind of more than you would have before. Before, you play two or three times a week. Now you're playing three or four times a week. You know, it ups the pace, and if you can get on a hot streak, it can, you know, matter more than it might have before.
Yeah, totally. So let's make some predictions now for the league as a whole this season. Okay, my first prediction, and it kind of ties to something we mentioned a little bit earlier, but I don't think Luongo is going to get traded now. I think he's going to get bought out after this season. I think it's such an expensive contract. And now that teams know they can get out of it, I think they'd rather just let Vancouver buy him out and then maybe test free agency and see if they can swing him over.
He would definitely be, that would be something to watch in the next offseason, you know, because, I mean, he's had some troubles with, you know, consistency and being there in the clutch, but he's definitely a fantastic goaltender, and there would be bidding wars for him.
Yeah, most teams would want to have him on their team, and I think if Vancouver buys him out and he gets to dangle in free agency, it'll be interesting to see what teams are willing to do for him. But it's just such a big contract, and knowing that he could just be in free agent soon, I think teams might just wait.
It'd be less likely to be willing to pay that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with the lower cap next season now, I think that's the safer bet. So we'll see.
You know, the Flyers have always, you know, recently been a team that was going out there and spending the money. You know, you watch, you know, before the lockout was a thing, you had the whole Shea Weber situation where the Flyers offered a ridiculous contract to him, and then, you know, the Predators match it, which can't be good for you, but...
As soon as the Flyers made that offer, I was so excited for him to get out of there. That would have made such a huge difference.
Anybody expected Nashville to match it?
No, not at all.
It's probably a bad decision in the long term, and they're most likely going to have to use that amnesty clause on him after this season, because with the new salary cap, I don't know that they can afford that contract. But I mean, yeah, like it's definitely something to watch next off season. With the lower salary cap, it's gonna result in a lot of maneuvering to get everybody under the cap, but still trying to stay competitive. And you know, it'll definitely be something to watch, you know, next summer. But hopefully there's a lot of good hockey between now and then.
Yeah, I hope so. But yeah, so what about you? What kind of prediction, what's one of your predictions you have?
I think I've made a lot of predictions here. Like, what kind of effect the shortened, compressed season is going to have.
What about specifically for teams? Anyone going to drop off who was good last year? Who, you know, any surprises due to moves? What do you think?
Same. I don't know that there's a surprise, but really, I don't see how anyone's going to stop the Rangers. I mean, they were already amazing last year. The one issue was that they didn't have as much scoring talent, and then they went out and got Rick Nash.
Yep.
I mean, they've got maybe the best goaltender in the NHL right now in Henrik Lundqvist. They got a great defensive core, and now you got Rick Nash who could score goals. I mean, I don't like them. They're in my division. I really don't like the team, but I don't see how they're going to be stopped.
Yeah, they are definitely going to be a tough one to beat, that's for sure. In fact, a lot of people, I think, are already predicting them to be the ones that come out of the East to challenge for the Cup.
I mean, I think, maybe I'm biased here, but I think the winner of the East is going to be whoever survives the Atlantic Division.
Yeah. I mean, when I look at it as someone who doesn't follow too much East Coast hockey, but like the teams I would be most worried about are the Penguins, the Flyers, and the Rangers.
And again, this is going to sound biased for me, but I think the Penguins are going to fall off.
Yeah.
I think the Penguins they didn't really make any moves in the offseason. I think they're actually worse because they let Staal go to Carolina. So they've actually lost one of their key players. They didn't get one of the big-name free agents that were going around, your Suter, Parise, you know, all those kind of guys. So I think Penguins, and I still think Penguins have a question mark, a goaltender. I mean, if you watched the Flyers-Penguins series last year in the playoffs, where you had, like, you know, lots and lots of scoring, that I don't think Fleury in Pittsburgh can make some amazing saves, but he will also give up a lot of gimmies. I think the Penguins fall off a bit. You know, I think Crosby will probably miss some time because he's very injury prone. I don't want him. I hate the guy, but I don't want to see him, you know, significantly hurt, but I think he's going to be. Especially with the fast pace, the compressed schedule. I think the Penguins make the playoffs. I think they're definitely in the mix, but I don't see them as a real contender this year.
Yeah, I could see either way. I definitely agree with you, and I think goaltending is a big deal. But just thinking about even if it's just 48 games, but the whole season of Malkin and Crosby together, I think that could be dangerous because Evgeny Malkin was amazing.
If they can stay healthy, they're definitely in it, but I don't know that they stay healthy. I mean, it's, you know, I think it was already hard enough for them to stay healthy with a regular season, and that with it, you know, more games in a shorter time span, it's like it's going to create more injuries, and I think that's definitely going to hurt Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, I agree. As for a prediction of mine, as for teams doing better or falling off, I think the Kings are going to take a big step back.
Yeah, I think so. They've lost some pieces, and you know, it's you live by the hot goaltender. It's can Quick stay that good, and it's hard to do that in the NHL to keep going. It was amazing that he had the run that he did, but can he keep it going? And that's something that not a lot of guys have been able to do.
Right, and yeah, they really did just get hot at the right time, and it's not like they were juggernauts all season. They just it was all about timing. I mean, what seed were they even?
They were the 8th seed. They were the last team in the West.
And they knocked off Vancouver, number one, yeah, and then it kept moving from there. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't even make the playoffs. I mean, they barely squeaked in last year, and teams like Minnesota have gotten better.
Oh, Minnesota, yeah. Minnesota added, you know, Suter and Parise. You made two big free agent additions to an already good young team in Minnesota. I mean, they're definitely a team to watch in the West.
Yeah, so I don't think the Kings will be anywhere near as good, and if I'm going to get wild with my predictions, yeah, I don't even think they make the playoffs. So, and it'll start Saturday when the Blackhawks beat them. So,
well, good luck with that.
All right. Well, I think that will about do it, unless you have one more prediction you'd like to make, JP.
I just want to make the point to tie this into gaming and Nintendo a bit. Since the lockout got ended, since they made the deal, I've been playing a lot of NHL 13. Which is fantastic, and if you have a PS3 or 360 and you're a hockey fan, I can't recommend it enough. And it's just, I really hope EA puts out NHL 14 on the Wii U, because I think it could be really great. I think the NHL games in recent years from EA have been so fantastic, and I would love to get one with the gamepad functionality, because EA has done a great job with Madden and FIFA. I would love to see them keep it going.
I think it'll happen. I mean, like you said, FIFA and Madden are already there. They might not have thought the demand for NHL would be there now with the season halfway over, or possibly not even happening due to the lockout. But I think with NHL 14, why wouldn't you bring it over?
I really hope so. EA, you can have my money. Okay, if you promise me you'll make it, I will pay you $60 right now.
Yeah, totally. I'm in. I will pre-purchase it right now. So yeah, that would be good. And maybe we'll start a little Nintendo World Report League then.
Definitely.
Listeners can play with us.
Yes. Bring it on. I will face you in all challengers. And if you have the game on the 360, add me. I'll play you on there.
There you go. I had it for PS3, but now my PS3 broke, so I don't get to play it anyway. So, but if you want to add me on PSN, and maybe someday I'll get my PS3 fixed, I'm okay soda, like everything else. So.
Yes, and I'm insane, Lord, like I am on the forums. There's, like, if you go into general gaming on the forums, there are threads for Xbox Live and PSN tags. There's a lot of stuff in there. So, I'm in there. I'm other places.
Cool. Awesome. Well, yeah, JP, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it was fun.
Good time. Maybe we'll preview the playoffs down the road in 48 games. That would be good. And yeah, thanks for listening, and I will talk to you guys later. December destroyed me, January crushed me, but February